Welcome to the Meal Mentor Podcast. I'm your host, Lindsay S. Nixon. This is the 42nd episode in the Co-Pilot series where we can chat about making the plant-based lifestyle more doable, especially while facing the common challenges and roadblocks we all face on our journey to better health and weight loss. I'm really excited for my guest today. She's amazing, but she's also a true testament that it's never too late. You can always just have your best year yet. There's never too late of a chance to turn around and be awesome and kick butt. And so I'm just really excited to have her. So let me just jump right in and welcome her. Hey, Lucia, what's up?
Hey. It never is too late.
Yes.
That's for sure.
So the way I kind of asked you to be on the podcast is you had posted something. I can't remember if it was in the private Facebook group or in the member forums that you recently had quite a big feat.
I did. Well, two big feats, really. I turned 60 this year, so that is a big feat.
Yes, 60 is a big number. Yeah, big age.
You know, when I was 50, I said I was going to do a triathlon, and I did not. So,
but you did something else.
I did something else. So when I was 60, I kind of said, okay, I'm definitely doing it this year, and my sister is doing it with me, but I did not run. I would swim and ride my bike, but I never ran. So you have to run in a triathlon.
Right.
So
yes, you do.
It's like a necessary part. So in May, I turned 60, April 30th, so the 1st of May, thereabouts, I became part of Meal Mentors, yay. And also started Couch to 5K, who would believe it, Couch to 5K, and started running. And then last weekend, I ran my first 5K.
Yay! Congratulations.
And finished it. And wasn't the last person. So
I know, I feel like everyone's worried about that. I don't want to be last.
Yeah, that was my whole goal, finish it and not be last. But,
yes.
You know, the last people are the bravest, most courageous people of all because
they
know they're last and they still continue.
Mm-hmm.
So you get a lot of inspiration from them.
That's a really good point. A lot of times we don't think about that, but last counts. And it is those people that are amazing because they know they're last and yet they don't quit.
You know, we were driving away from the race and I saw the man who was last and I really got kind of emotional just seeing him because he had this great escort of like policemen and all these people. And it was just really beautiful actually to see that. So, even last is great.
So just to recap, you turned 60 in April, joined Meal Mentor, and then started your Couch to 5K program and now have completed a 5K.
Yeah, and in the middle of October, we're doing our triathlon.
Oh, so you're going to do the triathlon now?
Yeah, I'm doing it.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'm totally crazy. Yeah, you are crazy.
I haven't even done a triathlon.
It should be, you know what? It's kind of cool because it's a women's triathlon.
Oh, how cool.
I'm really looking forward to that. I think it's going to be fantastic. And last year they had a lady that competed in that triathlon that was 86 years old.
What?
86.
Incredible.
So,
that's incredible.
No excuses.
No, yeah, right? No excuses. And another testament, it's never too late. And I remember reading about somebody who is setting a record in that they were running a marathon every single day, a marathon, which is over 26 miles.
I know.
And I want to say the gentleman and his wife, because they were doing it together, were in their 70s. And they were plant-based, too. But I just remember being like, wow.
Lot of plant-based athletes. I mean, it really is amazing. You know, if people ever want to get inspired, they should look up like Ruth Heydrich.
Mm, she's amazing. Amazing personal inspiration for me.
Amazing.
And for those who aren't familiar with her story, she had cancer. And changed her diet because, you know, she was looking for ways to win against the battle of cancer. And mm-hmm. she then went on to win. I mean, she set like, I think every record she could for her age group, for being a woman in her age group, and just her age group in general, as well as like, I mean, she has so many medals. I think she has over 80 awards yeah. and medals and stuff at this point. And so she didn't just go out and finish. She rocked.
Right. 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 And she's still competing and mm-hmm. she's still mentoring people, and she's fantastic. Really fantastic. So there's lots of cool people out there doing things.
Indeed. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your backstory? Like, what led you to sort of try a plant-based diet?
Well, you know, I am not new to the plant-based diet world. I was kind of flipping through my brain this morning thinking about it. And my whole kind of mantra in life is one step at a time. So the evolution to plant-based diet, I think it's like a lot of people. I probably 35 years ago, I stopped eating red meat because I didn't feel well when I ate it. And one thing kind of leads to another, I think, for most people. You know, it's like, then you start to become more aware of how your body feels when you eat certain things. And mm-hmm. so, you know, I stopped eating red meat. Then I read and saw a documentary about chicken processing. So I kind of left that behind. And then, you know, that was back in like the 80s. God, I'm old. Back in the 80s. And so there was a lot of buzz about plant-based diets then, except you were on the fringe of things. So, but then I found Dr. McDougall, probably in the mid 80s, I would say. And I knew a man that was doing the McDougall plan, and just, there was something about all that that just really resonated for me. Mm-hmm. And once I think that perhaps I was not as dedicated. It takes a lot of dedication in the beginning, especially if you're living out in the real world with people who, you know, this is something we read about on the Facebook page and in the forums all the time about people not being supportive of it, but how you kind of find your way through that. And it's just a process. It's just like the couch to 5K is. It's a process of, you know, how do you feel about it? How do you feel when you do it? And you can kind of model that for other people, and then you start to be able to talk to them better about your choices. So,
right. Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of my thing. One thing led to another.
And I definitely think you hit on a key point that the longer you live a lifestyle, the more you just have a natural confidence. So you're able to communicate, you know, you're not as timid. And that's something I think a lot of people feel overwhelmed with early on, is they feel like they have to be able to like argue. And it's like, don't argue your lifestyle, just live your lifestyle.
Right.
And even later on, you still don't want to argue, but you will have that confidence. You know, it's sort of like riding a bike. The first time you took the training wheels off, you're like, oh my God. But then eventually
right.
you could ride your bike. And then eventually you even rode your bike without holding the handlebars. You know, it's a process.
Right. Right. And I always remember Dr. McDougall talking about going out to eat in restaurants or going to eat with, you know, in a family gathering or whatever. And for me, it was just the thing where I didn't make a big deal over it. For me, it was, this is what I ate, and people would see what I ate, but I didn't feel like I ever had to justify it. This is just what I did. And I think if you're really secure in your choices, that most of the time people just kind of go along with it. They're not going to challenge you. When most people, there's always, you know,
mm-hmm.
there's always a few.
Yes.
That want to like test you. But in general, I think people, if they see that you're living a very healthy life, they're not going to, you know, in most cases, they're not going to challenge that mm-hmm. if they care about you.
That's really true.
I wanted to tell you, I went to the doctor a week or so ago, and this was a new doctor I'd never seen before. And he, you know, I live in Florida. So when I went to the doctor, he said, well, what medications do you take? And I'm really grateful that I take none. Mm-hmm. And he said to me, what do you attribute your health to? And I was like, plant-based diet, exercise, and walking, and water. Mm-hmm. And he was like, he just got the biggest smile on his face. I laughed. I said, it was like all the things that you tell people to do, that's what I did. And it pays off.
Right.
And he was like, I can't believe I had somebody come in my office that like, that's the things that we tell them to do. It was really kind of funny.
It's like they all say, eat your vegetables, drink water, you know, exercise, and, you know, maintain a healthy lifestyle. You actually do all those things.
Yeah. And it was like, but they're shocked when you say you take no medication. It's like, well, part of that is just luck, I think. Part of it is just trying to live a healthy lifestyle.
Yeah,
it's never too late to change it. Never too late to change it.
And even if you are on medications, it's still not too late. I mean, there's a chance that maybe you won't be able to get off your medications, but there's a chance that you are, that you can be on the lowest dosage, which I'm sure you've seen as much as I have with the members commenting. They're on their lowest dosage. They've come off their medication.
Right.
But even if they can't ever get off of it, like it's forever, they feel better anyway.
Right. Yeah, I mean, some people can't get off things. I mean, you know, I'm not an advocate of not taking something if you need to, you know. But if you can try some, I always have this thing about with my husband. I'll say, why are you so agreeable to take medication, but never agreeable to change your lifestyle? That doesn't make any sense to me. We're just like, okay, give me a pill, but we are not going to give up anything or go for a walk. I don't get that. So,
yeah, and it's interesting, too, because it's almost like that's even the modern medical practice. Because, like, I remember a while ago, I was having some pain, and my doctor's like, well, here's a pain pill. And I'm like, I understand that if I take this pill, I won't feel the pain, but clearly something's causing this pain. And I want to know what that is so it stops.
Right.
And my doctor just thought I was so weird. Like, why is she fighting me over this pain pill?
Yeah,
and I'm like, I just want to know why I have it. Yeah. Like, why am I here?
Right. Yeah. It's like, oh, man, one of these.
Yeah, and it was just such a source of contention that I was like, I think I need to find another doctor. Because I wanted to know why I was in pain. Like, something was happening. Either I was doing something or I was not doing something. And I didn't want to keep doing whatever that was.
Right. You know, and that's kind of how my sister and I got into this whole idea of a triathlon, even though that's like an extreme example, but it was more about using your body in a different way. Mm-hmm. So you are not doing the same thing all the time and having a better balance. And I guess that's one of the things that I would love to share with everybody that I see on the forums is have good balance in your life, you know, body, mind, and spirit. It's not just about the food, you know, and controlling. You know, I'm always worried that we're too worried about controlling everything and trying to find a better balance for ourselves, you know? So even if it's like, okay, you're not going to run a 5K, maybe you can just go for a walk for half an hour, couple days a week, you know? And the same with food when you're with people. It's like, okay, well, we don't have to make them do what we're doing, but we can show them. You know, it's all about balance for me.
Yeah, I love that.
Not giving up.
Yes, not giving up or even arguing, but it's like you said, I loved about saying not being in control. And I definitely see that all the time is like people want to just like put everything in boxes or just have everything down to this tiny little specific amount. And it's just, you can't live that way. And that's not really how the like life is. Life is in this state of like balance, pushing and pulling. Like one thing I tell people is how many calories your body needs on a day-to-day basis changes because it's constantly shifting. And so even trying to get it down to like this one calorie or it's a fool's errand. It's about having, you know, making sure you have a set boundaries and you're not going crazy. But I mean, even your own body is in this state of balance and flux.
Right. Yeah. And, kind of honoring that, you know, and,
go with the ebb and flow of the ocean.
Yes. And, I love that too. I think, you know, the more balance we have, the more we can just kind of be really aware of our bodies and how we treat them because they're always talking to us, right?
Mm-hmm.
Our bodies are telling us really if we're really listening. When, you know, we see this on Facebook or on the forums a lot is people eat something that they know is a bad choice.
Mm-hmm.
And your body says, hey, that was a bad choice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We know that was a bad choice. And our body told us that. And then we're going to forgive ourselves for that. That's the other thing. I think we need to have a lot of compassion for ourselves. It's a process that we're learning through. And it's like, don't beat yourself up because you made a bad choice. If you make the bad choice over and over and over again, okay, well then maybe we need to dig in there and figure that out a little bit. But if we make one bad choice, that doesn't erase all the good choices that we made.
And that's one thing that, you know, I'm always saying, you know, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater because that's what people do. And I've been there with that ask screw it moment. You're like, well, I've already messed up, so I might as well screw the whole thing. It's like, don't, because then you just, you're creating, it's, you know, it's worse. You know?
Right.
So just get back on the horse, so to speak, and continue on. But like you said, you really do have to forgive yourselves. But also, when your body does give you feedback, like, hey, that was a bad choice, the thing you can do best for your body is to honor that by learning it and remembering it.
Right. Exactly. It's like, okay, oh, yeah, when I did that, it was, I did not feel good. And so I won't do that again.
And it's, for me, what I found is like when I'm fighting, like say the temptation to eat something like really sugary, I remember how bad I felt both physically and like emotionally. Like, okay, the last time I went ahead and ate this, I felt awful. Mm-hmm. You know, I had a headache, my stomach hurt, and then I beat myself up for 3 days. And magically, it's so much easier to say no thank you.
Right. You know, life is about learning, right?
Mm-hmm.
The whole deal is about that. It's about learning. So it's like, okay, have an awareness, learning. Please, God, let us not repeat it. But if we do, forgiveness, and then we repeat the whole process all over. And that's not a one-time good deal. Mm-hmm. That's a every day or every other day for the rest of our life.
Yep.
I just think people sometimes just, like you said, throw the bathwater out with the baby. It's like, okay, well, I made a mistake. I'm a bad person. I'm just going to do whatever I want to do. And it's, I just feel so bad. It's like, okay, let's just start over again tomorrow.
Or even the next meal, because like that's a lot of things too.
Is exactly.
Like I made a really bad breakfast choice, and so then they're like, forget it. They're going to eat bad the whole day. I'm like, no, don't. If you'll just, you're asking for more regrets or feeling worse. But also, if you stop and you turn it around and you have a good choice, you'll feel less bad about your maybe misstep earlier in the day.
Versus falling.
Totally. Yeah. And I've like, one of the things that a lot of members have since now quoted me on, cause I was struggling with this one day, was to just stop friggin' digging, like stop digging the hole.
Really?
Just like put the shovel down.
Right. Right. Yeah. And let's look at the fork and the spoon as the shovel, right?
Right. Yeah. Just stop digging. Yes. Like, you already made a big hole. Let's not make it deeper.
You should make a shirt. Stop digging.
Yeah, stop digging. It's really become sort of like this inside joke with the members, but I love it. And I actually have said it to myself, like, stop digging. Stop it.
Right.
So one thing I know about you from interacting, like, in the groups and the forum is you batch cook sometimes.
I do.
Yeah. Have you always been a batch cooker? Or is this something that came with Meal Mentor?
I love to cook. I'm a counselor by trade. I'm a grief counselor. So I like to have time where I'm not talking.
Okay.
So cooking and baking are like, I get to use my hands, and I just really like the whole getting in there and wrestling with food. And so batch cooking, I love, but my process is different than some people, but I think there's some people that probably do it the same way as I do. I do a lot of just, I cook one meal at a time. Instead of doing all the preps for all the meals, I just do one meal, I go to the next meal, I go to the next meal, which works, I don't know why that works so well for me, but for some reason, the prep for everything at once is just too, I don't know, it's too much for me. So I think we're back to that whole thing. What's the process that's going to work for you?
Exactly. For your sort of personality and your energy. And it can change, you know, even week to week, because I actually do what you're describing. Like, I'll do a recipe, and then while that's simmering, I'll start on the next one. And, you know, so, but then there are other weeks where I just prep it all and then bang it out. I mean, like you said, it's listening to my body, my energy, my spirit, you know, what's happening with me that day, or even just my time. Because sometimes if I think I might be interrupted, it makes sense for me to do your method, which is, you know, cook one, cook another. Because if I get interrupted, oh, no big deal, you know, fine. But I don't have all this like prep stuff all over my kitchen. But other times when I know I have a big block of time, I'm going to watch a Netflix marathon while I cook.
I
plan to do the whole thing.
Yeah. Sometimes I just love that too, when I'm just by myself and I'm going through some whatever, you know, binge watching whatever. And it's fun because the time goes by really fast. And, you know, I love to see people's pictures on the forum because thing that I get is how the feeling of accomplishment.
Yes.
You know, there's something about when you cook one meal for your family and they enjoy it and that's nice, but there's something really, it's like a goal, you know, you've completed this goal. And I get when I see that people just feel like, I did that, you know, I'm good for the whole week. And there's this whole feeling of relief. And I love the whole psychological aspect of that. It's really fascinating to me.
Yeah, until you mentioned it, I'd never considered that myself, but that's really true. So many people do feel really accomplished, or they feel very relieved.
Right. But I guess that's why I wanted to share that the process is different for everybody, because sometimes I think people are really intimidated when they see, you know, everybody's making the whole week's meal and I'm just making one, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, well, that's okay for you.
But that's still awesome. Like, you making one meal is one meal. You're not ordering takeout. So that's awesome. You're already one step ahead of so many other people. Yeah, you're rocking.
Right. And I think I love, too, when people start to share, you know, their own creations, their modifications.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, you know, the one thing, Lindsay, I really wanted to say about this whole amazing plan you have, but especially the forums and the Facebook page, is the encouragement.
Yes.
That's the word I would use about that whole thing, is it's a land of encouragement in a world of criticism.
Yes, absolutely. You hit the nail on the head there.
and we need more of that. And I just feel like everybody on there is so encouraging of each other. And it's really amazing.
It is. It's such a safe space too, because people have shared, you know, really personal things. And I've even said things where I know if I said them even on like my fan page for Happy Herbivore on Facebook, I just know I would be ridiculed and torn apart and the trolls would come. And I never have even the slightest hesitation sharing in our groups and forums, because I know everyone, even if they don't agree with me or something, or they're disappointed, they just still love and support me and respect me. And I love that. And I know everyone else does too.
Yeah. I think more than anything, that's the best part of the whole deal.
Yeah.
And who knows?
The community.
Mm-hmm. You just think you're getting recipes, you know, you don't know that you're going to get something that's so much more important.
Yeah. I remember one of our other annual members that joined, you know, just thinking they were going to get new recipe ideas. She's like, I had no idea when I joined that I would get a family. And I was like, yes, that's exactly how I felt too.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I feel that too. It's just really, really amazing.
So one thing, I don't even know if you'll remember this, but it was a tip that you gave to all the other members way back in May. And I loved it so much that I thought maybe you could tell us where you came up with this idea. But basically, you had posted a picture of this gorgeous popsicle and said that you had leftover smoothie from breakfast. And so since there was extra, you froze it into a popsicle. And of course, the popsicle looked amazing. But that was such a cool, I never would have thought to do that.
Well, sometimes, you know, I love the aesthetics of food, and I love this about the groups is people seem to go all out to have a beautiful picture.
Oh, yeah,
right?
They do. They take such amazing photos. It's like a magazine every day. I'm like, oh, my gosh, how do you guys make your food look so pretty? I mean, my food, but it's so pretty.
I know. It's like just so gorgeous. And so I love that about produce anyway. I used to be in the CSA one time that every week when I opened the box, it was so beautiful, right? I used to tell the farmer, I said, it looks like a painting.
Oh, yeah.
So that, it does. You know, I think when a Moosewood cookbook or something one time, they had a beautiful painting of fruit and vegetables. Anyway, I that really appeals to me, how food looks, even though a lot of times the food I eat does not look that pretty. But you know, sometimes you want a little treat that's a good thing for you. But you feel like you're getting something really special. So there's something about making something like as simple as a little popsicle. I mean, it's a simple thing, but you can make it beautiful, and it gives you so much satisfaction on many levels, right?
Mm-hmm.
You get the satisfaction of eating it, but it's beautiful, and it just feels so much better.
That's true. Food, yeah, and I think that's why people like restaurants. Yep, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. So, and I think that's the thing about when people go to, you know, we need to treat ourselves. We need to, the food that we're taking into our body is sacred, right?
Mm-hmm.
If we think about it, it's sacred. It's nourishing us in a way that's really vital. So why not have it be sacred food and like look like that? You know, why would we just go drive through someplace and eat something that you can't even tell what its original state was?
Right? Yeah, you're like, what was that?
What is that? Why do we treat ourselves that way? That food is really important to us, and it should be beautiful and lovely.
And like you said, sometimes, you know, just adding the tiniest little twist or just plating it just a little bit nicer just makes you enjoy it just so much more. It makes you more excited about it, or maybe your family.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you don't have to go all crazy. Like sometimes I see bento box lunch boxes and I'm like, hats off to those moms. But
right.
I do think there are little things you can do that just makes the experience so much more enjoyable. That's a really great point.
Right. I mean, I've actually had people say to me, they recognize the plate that you have. Oh, that's a Fiesta.
Yeah, I love Fiestaware.
And so does that make us feel like we're eating something that's nourishing? And, you know, it's about caring for ourselves.
Yes.
So if we're eating food in a way that's, you know, say, I deserve to eat healthy, good food because I want to have a strong, healthy body.
Right.
Yeah.
Food is fuel and nourishment, but it can still be beautiful and enjoyable. But I do love that approach. Yeah. I love that perspective.
Yeah.
So one thing is, since you mentioned you're a grief counselor, I'm going to make you put your professional hat on. So one thing I tell people all the time is all change is grief. And as I know you're familiar, mm-hmm. there are multiple stages of grief. And I would just like to get your opinion on that. Like, you know, with changing to eat healthy or learning to become a veg cooker, there's that grief period. And maybe you have some tips for us for how to, like, process those different emotions.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's challenging, you know, as you know, food is way more than food, right? It's this whole, God, it is so complicated. I'm sure that, you know, there's a lot of people who have written a lot of things about, you know, food and the psychological impact of food. And, you know, we're raised in a certain way to eat certain things. And so changing is more separation from that. And so a lot of times, you know, we see that people challenge us about it. And so there's this whole grief about, does this mean we're not part of family anymore because we don't eat pot roast or whatever on Sunday? So I think that that's really challenging for people. But you've talked about this a lot lately, and I really love this. We can still be part of, it's not about the food.
Right, exactly.
It's about friendship and love and relationship. It's not about the food. The food is so incidental, but we've kind of like flipped all that and made that like the central part of it. Thanksgiving is not about a turkey, right?
Right.
It's about sitting with people that you care about. Mm-hmm. And we can still have all of that without the turkey.
Exactly. And like, that's been a theme, like you said, on a lot of these podcasts that, you know, don't measure your activity in something and with food and don't make it about the food. And the example I love to give is I've never gone to a wedding for the food ever. And it was never really good anyway. I mean, if I'm honest.
Right.
But while and even when they've given me, you know, a vegan meal, I don't ever remember it. I remember the bride's dress. You know, I remember how beautiful the bride looked. I might remember flowers if they struck me, or I might remember music or some other memory that I have, maybe a dance I did or something. But it's almost, I never remember the food. I mean, that's how unimportant it is. And even at my own wedding, I don't really remember what I ate or drank.
Right.
So it's like we make such a big deal out of it for nothing.
Right. And so I think, you know, I just think it's, you know, the other part of that, I think, too, about, especially when we're talking about family, is, you know, in the beginning, maybe sometimes people, one, we have to really assert ourselves, and maybe in our family system, we were never a person that asserted ourselves.
Right.
So when we say, this is my lifestyle choice, that's a huge leap for people, right?
It's
like saying, I am a grown-up person who is not eating that. And people sometimes are shocked by that. They're like, what? But it's okay. It's necessary for us to be our own person. And so if these are our choices, it's scary, but it gets less frightening as time goes on. And like I said, people come to acceptance. They're like, okay, well, you're the weird one in the family that is whatever. And that's okay. We love you and your weirdness.
Yeah, you stop being the pliable relative and you become the weird relative. And it's totally cool. It's totally fine.
Right.
And right. I mean, I'm a huge people pleaser, so I know what it's like to be like, oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. But it's really, at the end of the day, being happy with myself and my choices matters the most.
Right. Right. Yeah. And the bottom line is you have to, you know, lay your head on the pillow and be true to yourself. I mean, it's not. Nobody else is living inside of your skin except for you.
Exactly.
So make the choices for you. You deserved it.
Yes.
Everybody deserves it. You know, we deserve to have the best life that we can. Don't let people tell you you can't.
Right. And
you can be a white-haired 60-year-old lady out there getting ready to do a triathlon, and people will say to you, are you nuts? And it's like, yeah, but I'm happy being nuts.
Yep.
I'm happy.
Yeah.
I'm happy.
That's one of the things that a story I always like to tell is, you know, for years, decades, I believed, because everyone told me I wasn't athletic. You know, oh, Lindsay, she's smart,
right.
She's pretty, or she's creative, mm-hmm. or she's got, you know, she is a great writer, but she's not athletic at all. You know, I mean, it became
right.
like my identity. Like, I'm not athletic, I'm not coordinated, I'm not physically
right.
fit. And I eventually realized, as long as I kept saying it, it was going to be true
right.
that no one was making that decision but me. And I have since gone on to become a very good snowboarder, which is how this whole thing started, is I was
right.
tired of being left at home. And
right.
And but yeah, it was, everyone told me it, and it absolutely wasn't true.
Right. Right.
And I don't care if
yeah,
I look stupid or I'm never going to go to the Olympics. I have a great time doing it.
Exactly. You know, I love that. It's like, you know, envision what you want to be, not what other people have told you you are.
Exactly.
What do you want to be, you know? And there's really no limits to that.
And you can keep changing it too, you know, okay, I'm going to be I want to be the 60-year-old gray-haired lady running a triathlon. That's my inspiration for what I want to be.
Like, yay!
Yeah. And speaking of 60, well, actually 79, I couldn't help myself. I had to look up Ruth Hendricks' stats while we were talking. And so she's 79 uh-huh. years young. That's what she says, 79 years young.
Wow.
And she is an Iron Lady, which is the female for an Iron Man. And if you don't know what an Iron Man is, it's like so much more than a triathlon. It's like swimming
yeah.
a whole
yeah.
lot, running a marathon, and like biking a whole bunch. Like, I'm not even sure. It's a lot. It's crazy. But she
right.
does them.
Yeah.
At 79.
They run like a marathon and a
It's like
a
100 miles on a
miles
bike and then like more, several more miles swimming. Like, it's mind-blowing to me that people can do this.
Right.
But so she is the winner of more than 900, just a little less than 1,000 trophies, 6 Ironman triathlons. She has 8 gold medals in the U.S. Senior Olympics, and she's completed 67 marathons, including Boston, New York, and Moscow, which if anyone who's not a runner is not
yeah.
aware, it's hard to even qualify to run those. Like, you have
right,
to go kick
right.
butt somewhere else to be allowed the honor of running in those marathons. So,
right.
and she's also been named one of the 10 fittest women in North America. And mind you, she's 79.
Yeah, 79. Wow.
So, she's pretty amazing.
Awesome.
Yeah, and if there are any seniors who are interested in running, Ruth has a whole bunch of books on senior exercise and
mm-hmm.
senior running that you should definitely check out.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, she is the one inspiring woman. So.
Yes.
As are you, though, running your first 5K at 60 and now a triathlon.
Thank you.
I'll have to have
and
you.
Thank
yeah. I'll have to have you
I
on
wanted
after
to say
you do
thank
it.
You. I'm sorry. I'm talking over
oh,
you.
Oh, it's okay.
I wanted to say thank you to all the people in the forums who liked my picture. It's very, I was just in awe of them liking it. I was like, oh my God, but it was it fills you up. It just makes you, it's just more encouragement. It's more encouragement.
Yeah, my dad was visiting me recently, and I put his picture on just Facebook, just like regular Facebook, and he had over 5,000 likes, and he was like, he couldn't even believe it. He was just like so excited. He's like, well, I guess that solidifies it. I'm going to be vegan forever. And he was joking, but I was like, no, I really think that does make a difference knowing that you have all that support and love.
Oh, God, that's great. That's great. Your mom and dad look fantastic.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, they're actually going to be 70 this year. And when I tell people, they're like, what? I'm like, I know. And they'll be the first to tell you they wish they'd done it sooner. They wish they'd been plant-based sooner. Yeah. And that they feel better now than they did when they were 40. And that's just amazing. It's incredible.
Well, have you ever seen the pictures of Dr. McDougall? And I'm sure you've probably met him before, but... it's hard to believe he's his age. I don't know what his age is, but he doesn't look whatever it is.
Yeah, I we've met in person a few times. I spoke at one of his weekends, and I honestly thought that he was like 10 or 15 years older than me, and I think he's got over 30 years on me. That's how looks. And his wife too. Mary's beautiful and amazing. She's a great woman, but she too, you're just like, what? You know, like you just can't believe it. They're just, but that's the vibrance of healthy eating the plant-based diet for 50 plus years. So, but even
and
too, like Colin and Essie
look
great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
you know, one of my idols is Dr. Christiane Northrup.
Oh,
I don't know if you know her, but she, years ago, I saw her on PBS or something, and she was doing one of her talks, and she had this saying, and it really struck me, and it's kind of my hope and philosophy, and it's happy, healthy, dead. And I had to kind of laugh about it, but I kind of love it.
Let's
try to be as happy as we can, as healthy as we can, until we are no more.
Yeah.
And I love that. So I just wanted to share that with you because I think that's a good kind of way to try to live our life.
I love it. Until the last possible moment, just living it to the max. I love it. Love it.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Well, it's been amazing having you on the podcast today. Thank you so much for coming on and keep being so inspiring. And I can't wait to hear about your triathlon. You'll have to come back and tell us about it. I know you'll post pictures.
Okay,
you better post pictures.
Okay. Well, we'll see. Hopefully not on a stretcher going to the hospital.
Oh, yeah. But, no, happy pictures. Happy pictures.
Happy pictures.
Success at the end.
Thank you so much for letting me be on. It's really my honor to be able to talk to everybody, and I loved it.
Oh, good. All right. Well, if you want to learn more about the forums and Facebook and the meal plans that we've been talking about throughout this whole episode, you can visit getmealplans.com. And again, I'm your host, Lindsay S. Nation, and a big thanks to Lucia, and good luck on your triathlon.
Thanks.
Have a good night. Bye.
Bye-bye.